Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode 2 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joint podcast. This one's a great one. It's with Neil Bigmas Estrada. Super nice guy. You're going to just love listening to his stories. I've known him for a long time, and he's always welcomed me with open arms, and he's laughing all the time. I'm laughing all the time. It's like kind of a perfect marriage for a discussion. We talk about his history, go deeply into his history. We go into his passion in barbecue, how he went into the competition circuit. I met him as he was doing the farmer's market circuit around Los Angeles and the San Fernando Valley, so we talk about that. And then we go into his multiple TV appearances. He's been on the Food Network a ton of times, so many times. So we go into all that, as well as we go into his restaurants. He had 2 restaurants in Long Beach. He had a breakfast place that he shut down so that he could focus on Big Miss's Sandwich Shop, and it is fantastic, putting out some great sandwiches. Amazing barbecue, as well as great sandwiches. Great spot in the Long Beach if you're ever in the area. You're gonna enjoy this. He's a great guy. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, because I'll be adding at least 1 or 2 of these per week. And then also too, I will put a link, because I have a companion YouTube video, which is a YouTube interview with him, and you get to actually see this if you want to. Thanks so much.
Well, good morning. Happy Tuesday. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm doing great. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been a while. I need to come out to both your spots. Well, I wanted to know. I know your background, but I know that a lot of people don't necessarily know your background or might not be familiar. So if you can give us a little bit about your history. And first off, I don't think I've ever asked you, Big Mista. How did Big Mista, the name Big Mista, come about?
It just kind of evolved. When I came back to California from Texas, my standard greeting was, "Hey, what's on your mind, mister?" And folks started greeting me the same way, and then it got to be, "Hey, mister," and then it just kind of stuck. And now people in my old neighborhood, they, you know, the kids, little kids, call me Uncle Mister, and you know, it just stuck. And well, the big part is kind of obvious.
Were you in banking before? Is that what it was? Or were you in...
That was the most recent thing I did before barbecue.
Okay.
I did lots of stuff before that.
Yeah. Were you cooking on the side?
Yeah. Well, what happened was I was sitting on the couch with my fiance at the time, now my wife.
Okay.
And we were watching an episode of Good Eats. And I saw Alton Brown cook a pork butt in a flower pot. And said, "Hey, I ought to be able to do that."
Remember that episode, for sure.
Uh-huh. So she let me go out and buy a little smoker, put out on our balcony. And I commenced to trying the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some meat, put it in there, and it was awful. So I figured I had to learn, so I did what we all do. I went to the internet and I stumbled upon the Barbecue Brethren website.
I was going to ask you about that. I thought that was what you're...
Yeah, that's got to be the greatest repository of barbecue knowledge on the internet. It's awesome. Great people on there. And they basically took me under their wing and showed me how to barbecue. I mean, I learned all the tech. I cooked before, you know, but I had flavors that I liked. But I didn't know any of the techniques. I didn't know anything about fire management, you know, or wrapping or doing any of this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the stuff that I learned and practiced out there on my balcony. And from there, once I felt like I was doing pretty good, I contacted some friends of mine and said, "Hey, there's a barbecue competition here in town. We should enter." And some folks that I talked to, they were all bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
And we all talked about barbecue here in town and in our blogs, and we would comment on each other's blogs and say, you know, we got to put our money where our mouth is and go out there and give it a shot. I talked to a barbecue junkie. His name was Luis Ramirez.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
And he said no. So, of course, I challenged his manhood. I called him a marshmallow and a cream puff, and he agreed as long as we got some other help. So we got Professor Salt, Shuji Sakai, and Sylvie Curry, who now competes as Lady of Q.
Oh, yeah.
And we formed a team called 4Q. And we went out and did our first competition over at the Archery Museum. And we got a 5th in ribs, our first time out, and we were hooked.
Nice, nice.
So we started just competing. We competed together for about probably about 4 years. And then Luis, you know, had life happen. He started having kids and he just didn't have the time. And then we started doing all the, what do you call it, the People's Choice stuff.
Okay.
And we were winning People's Choice Awards. So people were asking me to cook stuff for them. And that kind of grew into a little kind of a catering thing, mainly because my wife said my competitions were cutting into her shoe money. So I need to start selling some dinners to make up for that.
Ah, makes sense.
So we sold dinners at her job and my job and wherever else we could come up with. And it just started growing and growing. More people started asking us to do stuff. Then she got the bright idea of, hey, let's go sell at the farmer's market on the weekend.
So it was her idea.
Yeah, it was her idea. So we went out there and we started selling barbecue, and it didn't go that well at first because nobody knew who we were. Mm. And where we were, everybody thought they could barbecue. Yeah, so we were selling right in the middle of Watts. They had a Watts farmer's market. We were there, and people would pass us by and go buy kettle corn. Like, you know, you're spending $6 on kettle corn, but you won't buy a barbecue sandwich? And, but everybody just kind of looked at us funny, but we got lucky. The editor for the food section of the LA Times came by.
Okay.
And because he was doing a thing on farmers markets. And he just happened to stop by our spot and got a sandwich, got some brisket. And he wrote a little blurb on the LA Times website about us.
Okay.
From there, it just kind of blew up. People were coming from everywhere to come try our barbecue. Then we started getting calls from other farmers markets. Well, can you come sell at our market and stuff like that? And there it just kind of took off.
Was the next one, was it Atwater or Sherman Oaks? Where was the next one?
Atwater was the next one.
Okay. Because I think that's where I met you at.
Yeah, that was our favorite market. We loved that one. We did Atwater. We did Torrance. We were all over the place. But Atwater was the one we kept longer than any of the other ones. That was kind of like our home base. In fact, if you look on the internet, there's still places, you can still go places and they have us listed. That was our address. That one from the market.
Like, oh, that's, you know, too that's funny. Yeah, because my brother lived in Atwater, and so he's the one, actually, I think he, because I was getting involved with barbecue, he told me about you, and I went by. Echo Park, did you ever?
We did do Echo Park for a little while. We did Eagle Rock for a while. We did, and then we were downtown. We did Bank of America. And Pershing Square.
That's the one, too.
We did Century City. We've done Altadena. We were all the way out at, you know, Pierce College, all the way out there. And we were all over.
So you did the farmer's market circuit, which I had no idea that there was like a farmer's market circuit, essentially.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. The good thing about it was that if sales started to dip, you just moved to another market.
True.
So you didn't have that same overhead. The hard part about it was the setting up and breaking down every day.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, hauling the smoker around. Plus, you got to have your three compartment sink and all the tents and stuff like that. And
well, that's true.
Set up and come back and cook for the next day and stuff like that. Isn't it? Because, you know, we were smoking stuff. It's not like just throw some stuff on the grill when you get there.
So. Oh, yeah. Do you do farmers markets at all anymore?
No.
Not at all, no.
Once we got the first restaurant, we asked the crew if they wanted to start going back to the farmers markets again. And they all said, hell no.
Probably pretty darn quick. They said, no, not at all.
Yeah, we like this. We like air conditioning.
So did Jonathan Gold, did he come by one of the farmers? He came by one of the farmers markets, right?
He came by Atwater also.
Atwater.
And he came and wrote a little blurb on us. And the thing is, he showed up about 10 minutes before we were closing.
Really?
And we had, you know, I'm scuffling because we're almost out of food. We're just pretty much out of everything. And I have some little pieces of brisket that I give him. And I had a couple of slices of tri-tip and a rib left. And he wrote about it and he said that if he could scrape together something that's this good, imagine what it's like when you get there when he first opens.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you blow up bigger for because of that than you did that
later? So I could talk to everybody then, yeah.
Yeah. I think I even remember other people talking. That's when you got on a lot of people's radar, I think. You did a lot of Food Network stuff. You did the Barbecue Pitmasters. Was it season two or three, I think?
Season two. I did season two Barbecue Pitmasters. We did the Ultimate Barbecue Showdown for CBS.
Okay.
What else did we do?
You did the food truck race. I know that my mom even saw that.
Yeah, we did the Great Food Truck Race. We did Man Fire Food, a Grill Master spokesperson for Fresh and Easy. So we did a lot of regional stuff, all the little news programs and stuff like that. I think our first national TV thing was on Over Your Head, which is a show on HGTV.
Okay.
So we did that. There's so many things. We've been on TV. I always tell folks, I said, I've been on TV more than half the actors in Hollywood, and I didn't even look for it.
And I'm sure people run into you and see you and know you from something, but they might not quite know why they know you.
Yeah, I get that too. And then somebody says, I know you. You were that guy on that TV, huh? Yeah, I've been on TV a couple of times. So yeah.
Can you share a little bit about what the experience is like? Say, like Barbecue Pitmasters or the Great Food Truck Race. Is it a lot of intense filming, or is it a short amount of time? Just quickly, I'm just curious how that goes.
For Pitmasters, it was basically a 2-day shoot.
Okay.
The whole contest is shot on one day.
Okay.
And then all the reaction stuff is shot on the second day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so.
And then the food truck race was a couple of weeks, right? Or 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, we were only on there for 2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks, okay.
Yeah. And it was... The people were nice. Because I've done other productions, that wasn't my favorite one.
Okay, gotcha. The Man Fire Food one was fun, I'm sure.
Huh? Oh yeah, Man Fire was great.
Yeah.
We shot that right at the shop, and we had a ball with those folks.
Yeah, that guy. He seems like a nice guy as well.
Yeah.
So your first restaurant opened November of 2014?
Yes.
And that's a sandwich shop, right?
Yeah, because this should be 3 years. Yeah, okay. That's the sandwich shop. Correct.
And tell me a little bit about that, or how the impetus and like what. What got you? You wanted to have your own brick and mortar place, and you were looking downtown at first, right?
Right. We were going to open a place downtown LA. The people that we were dealing with, well, let's just say, to keep me safe, the deal didn't go through.
Gotcha. Okay.
There were some complications with the other parties that
as often happens.
Yeah. So we ended up looking around closer to home because we live in Long Beach. And we stumbled on a place and said, hey, we can make this work. And it's actually a bakery. It was a bakery for another restaurant that's there.
Oh, wow.
And we took that over. So we moved in there. We have this huge bakery oven. We have this vat that they use to make sauce.
Okay.
You know, or not sauce, but... they would do all their icing, you know, like a big double boiler type that thing.
Oh, wow.
So we had that and the oven and the smoker. That's all the equipment we have. there's no stove in there.
Really?
We have no stove. Everything is either cooked in the smoker, in the oven, or in that vat.
You know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. In the vat, we make our sauce. We make our, you know, our greens and... You know, boil up pasta for the macaroni and cheese, and everything else either goes in the oven or the smoker.
Wow, that's like it's kind of lean and mean.
Very lean, yeah.
And so the hours, just so people know, the hours for the sandwich shop
are odd.
To say them, okay, so odd. is it best to follow you on social media to get the hours? Is that the best way?
Well, yeah, you can do that. I mean, I can tell you the hours. The hours. Sunday and Tuesday, we're open 11 to 4.
Okay.
Wednesday and Thursday, we're open 11 to 6.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday, we open 11 to 8. So the later in the week, the later we stay open.
Which makes sense. That makes sense for you. And what's the bat? Is it, how do you pronounce it? Bapom?
Bapom. It's the big ass pile of meat.
And what's on that?
That's basically a sampler platter. We have two different ones. There's one that's 2.5 pounds, and there's another one that's 4 pounds.
Oh wow!
The oh my god, and the damn. So they're just samples of all our. You know, it's a sampler with all of our meats: the brisket, pulled pork, ribs, turkey, rib tips.
Oh, fantastic!
And hot links.
Oh, making me hungry. Definitely. That Morning Wood you opened a year later, but it's barbecue, but it's also kind of going towards breakfast, right?
Right, right. And that one's open in the morning. That's a breakfast and lunch place. We actually have a stove there and a deep fry and a flat top, so we can do some different things there. So we're doing pig candy pancakes. We're doing a sweet potato brisket hash. We do what's a Benedict. We call it Aaron's Fatty Benedict. It's a recipe that I kind of tweaked. I got it from a friend of mine down in San Diego, Aaron Black.
Okay.
So it's actually two biscuits, fatty sausage. You know, we take the chub sausage, mm-hmm. reseason and smoke it. And then we put two of the fatties down, fried egg, smoked sausage gravy. We use that fatties to make the gravy, uh-huh. and crumble bacon all over the top of that.
Oh, I think I saw it online recently. I think it was on Instagram, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, that looks ridiculously good.
And then for all the folks who think they have a big appetite, we have the big ass breakfast. Everybody leaves with a box.
that's
nobody finishes it.
And that's over in Lakewood, right? Which is kind of northern.
Actually, it's a Long Beach address.
Okay.
It's right where it's at Carson and Lakewood. So okay. It's at the corner. I think if you go north from us, it turns into Lakewood. But okay. It's actually a Long Beach address because we're actually on Carson.
Gotcha. Don't people kind of consider Lakewood Long Beach too? Like a lot of times people say, I live in Long Beach, but it's Lakewood. I don't know. I some people have said that to me over the years.
The line is really, really crooked. So unless you know your exact address and the zip code, you could be in either one in there. I could drive down the street and go in and out of Lakewood 4 or 5.
The pig candy. Do you have pig candy at both locations?
No, only at the breakfast place.
Morningwood. Okay.
Morningwood. Uh huh. You can go there. You can buy it by itself, or you can get it in the pancakes.
Okay.
That is always it. That's kind of been a claim to fame for a long time.
And did you create pig candy, or did you just make it popular?
I did not create pig candy. It's been around for a while. There's a lot of stuff that I don't create. I just perfect it. Embellishment is my forte. I take a recipe and twist it and flip it and make it something incredible. So
you big missed it.
Right. Yeah. So I make the pig candy.
Is pig candy something that you could ever sell at a store, or is it something you always have to sell kind of fresh from?
Yeah, it's better fresh.
Yeah, yeah. And you have rub, right? You have your big mystery.
We do have our rub. We haven't been selling it recently. We just changed to a new packer, so we're talking to them about bottling right now.
Okay.
But we have our three rubs. We have our perfect pork rub, our bitchin' beef rub, and our chicken scratch.
Okay, cool. And did you have sauce? Have you ever sold sauce, or do you want to sell sauce?
No, not really. You got to have a whole different, I'd have to go out and get it bottled and stuff like that. But our sauce is, just something you get there.
Mm-hmm.
You get some of it. And if somebody wants of it, we'll sell them a container of it. But gotcha. We don't bottle it.
I guess that's a completely different animal if you want to be a sauce company.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, Phyllis is the brains of the business.
She's the brains.
I was saying all I do is cook and look cute.
That works out. Hey, that works out good, right?
I tell everybody, if it's written down on a piece of paper, give it to Phyllis.
Gotcha. And Phyllis is the one who got, when I requested the interview, she's the one that got back to me and said, I'll get with Neil. I'll make sure.
See, stuff written down goes to her.
That's true. And she has a book, right?
No, I wrote a book.
Did she write a book as well or no?
My book.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a while back. That was the Secret to Her Heart
Okay.
Cookbook I did, kind of a dating cookbook. Okay. It's still available on Amazon.
That's nice.
Called Secrets to Her Heart. A lot of recipes. It's not a barbecue book. Basically for the guy that's entertaining and wants to impress a girl. So I give a lot of dating tips as well as, you know, the recipes and this very basic, you know, I had my 12-year-old son at the time cooking all the recipes. If he can learn it, you can learn it.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I teach folks. I mean, you want to impress a girl, invite her over for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah.
Lots of tips, you know, about, you know, clean your apartment, make sure you vacuum. Tell people, you know, if you invite a girl over and you say, you know, kick your shoes off, make yourself comfortable. People are more comfortable when they take the shoes off. But if they're walking across your floor and stepping on Frito crumbs, you know, it kind of changes the mood.
It kind of does. I think that's a 1 in 1,000 person likes that. Well, that's and it's also sharing that when you cook with someone or cook for someone or cook with someone, that's that experience at last. Oh, yeah. That's it's worth more than almost anything. And now, do you still do the charity event in Galveston?
No, we haven't done that in the past couple of years. Been doing a lot of other charity stuff. I help out wherever I can around town and stuff like that.
Well, I know.
Trying to get more involved here in the city we live, you know. You know, trying to do some community things. You know, a lot of stuff is kind of behind the scenes and stuff like that.
Well, of course.
Meeting people and kind of not getting involved in city government, but, you know, meeting the people that are involved and talking to them, you know, sharing our experiences, things that are going on and things that are working for us and things that are not.
On a local level.
Yeah, right. Overall, you know, Long Beach is a great city. I really love it. I love living here. Met a lot of great people here. It's rare now that I go north of the 91 freeway.
Wow.
everything is here, you know. Long Beach is a big city.
Oh, it's huge. It's massive.
The city council is great. You know, I know some of the city council members, Al Austin, Stacey Mungo, and Mayor Garcia. He's awesome. Like I said, they're doing some great things, very progressive, very diverse. And it's generally a comfortable place to be. So,
yeah.
There's more parking than LA.
So much easier to park. Yeah. I know it's so.
Park in front of my house.
That is true. Well, to wrap it up, I got a couple quick questions. Do you have a favorite barbecue joint across the United States or in California that you like to go to when you're traveling outside of Long Beach?
My favorite barbecue place is not mine.
Yes.
When I'm out traveling, is probably Killen's. Probably a little biased. Because he's a friend. Actually, before we opened our restaurant, I called him up and asked him if I could come work in his restaurant for a week.
Really?
Because we knew how to cook, but we had never had a restaurant before. So I wanted to learn about processes and things like that, how to get things set up. And I told him, I said, I don't care about your recipes. I want to learn how things work in the restaurant, how to set things up to keep a smooth operation. He said, sure, come on down. So I went down there and worked for a week in his shop. And
over in Pearland?
Oh, in Pearland, uh-huh.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. You go to steakhouse as much? I know, I'm sure you cook steak at home. But if you were, okay, so.
I eat a steak once or twice a year.
Oh, really? Because you eat so much. So you
don't, I'm happier with a hamburger than I am with a steak.
Do you have a favorite hamburger joint?
Oh, man. They're so many. I can grab a burger from anywhere.
Yeah.
I tell you, the best steak I've had in Los Angeles is at the Bonaventure Hotel at their restaurant up on top of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
The one that spins around. I had a ribeye there that was so amazing.
Really?
And like I said, I'm not really a steak guy, uh-huh, but that was the steak I ever had.
Wow. Okay. I'll have to check that. I've been up there for drinks a long time ago. I haven't been there for food.
Yeah, the restaurant up there is awesome. I was there because I had taught a class there. Every year I go there, I teach a barbecue class. They have these classes that they do for, you know, you pay $50, you get a hands-on class, And then they have drinks and stuff like that. They pair the, you know, different drinks with the food, and people can go there and eat and drink. And usually the chefs teach it, but they have me come in and teach a barbecue class.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Oh, that's neat. Now, one last thing about when you first started out, did you buy any barbecue books, or was there any barbecue book that kind of paved the way for you at all, or was it more the Barbecue Brethren website?
The Brethren website was pretty much it. There are a couple of books. What's the book by Lawless Eric? Smokestack Lightning. That's the one. That one and Peace, Love, and Barbecue.
I was gonna guess that. That was the first one I was gonna guess when you said it. Okay.
Yeah.
By Amy Mills and Mike Mills.
Yeah, those are my two favorites. And I think for those, it's more about the stories than the recipes.
For sure.
Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, something we're doing now, we're doing something called Turkey Tips.
Okay.
And what Turkey Tips are is dark meat turkey that we are able to get. And we put our chicken scratch on it, and we smoke it, and we cut it like you would cut rib tips.
Oh, fantastic.
And we serve these, and you cannot tell the texture. You think it's pork.
Really?
From the texture, yeah. Great flavor. And then I called Chris Lilly from Big Bob Gibson's in Alabama. And I asked him about his white sauce, because this is poultry. So I asked him about white sauce. And, you know, it's all over the internet, you know, the basic recipe for it. So I talked to him a little bit about it. And then I tweaked it. I changed out some things in it. Like I replaced white vinegar with apple cider vinegar, a little more horseradish, you know, replaced cayenne with chipotle, and made what we call now our Kelly Bama sauce. And we serve this on the turkey tips, so either on a sandwich or you can get it on a plate or whatever. You talk about amazing.
Really?
I'm eating it and patting myself on the back.
I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of anybody making that. That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's really cool. Is that at both locations or just the sandwich?
It's going to be at both locations probably next week. Right now, it's just at the sandwich shop, but next week it'll be at both locations.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to try to figure out a way in the next few weeks to come. I live in the northern region where you don't come, so I'll have to figure out a way to
get there. There's a line in L.A. where most food writers don't go past.
I know.
Most of them go south of the 10, so I rebel, so I don't go north of the 10.
That's like that's how you get back at us, right? Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I'll shoot you any questions that I have if there's anything that we talked about that I want to put links to and stuff. But I'll put links in the show notes. But thank you so much, and have a great week. And thank you again. I appreciate you being my first.
Happy to do it, man.
Awesome. Take care, Neil.